Welcome to an interesting conversation with Mondays with Miles. Today we're going to talk about the Kentucky Derby, which happened a few weeks ago. Dr. Brand, a filly by the name of Eight Bells, finished second, broke both her ankles in the gallop past the finish, and had to be put down at Churchill Downs right after the race. I want your thoughts on this topic.
Well, I watched a race in which Big Brown ran a great race, and then the horse that came in second, a filly, broke both ankles and had to be euthanized immediately afterwards. And I've been reading about what happened. It was a very, very sad occasion. Josh, you may not know this, but I'm a horse lover. I mean, I really like those animals. They're very special animals. And I was wondering, what happened here? Why did this go wrong? And of course, it isn't the first horse that had to be euthanized from racing. A lot more have to as well in thoroughbred racing. And I heard all kinds of explanations that something wrong with the track, it should be synthetic rather than dirt. But the explanation that stuck with me, that seemed most reasonable, was that we've so bred thoroughbred horses that their bone structure can't carry that muscular large animal. And we race them early. We start racing them, training them when they're 18 months, and they're racing three-year-olds, two-year-olds sometimes, four-year-olds as an old racehorse in thoroughbred racing. And so we race them very young, but more importantly, we've bred them to such a high peak in order for performance that it creates breakdowns. So here's the question I want to ask. This concerns performance-enhancing drugs for humans. That is going in new directions beyond steroids, and we're hearing conversation about molecular manipulation, genetic molecular manipulation, in which athletes now will manipulate their genes, maybe from birth, so they'll be better athletes. Is there not a message here? We start breeding athletes, don't we get into the same series of problems we get into with the way we bred thoroughbreds, that we're going to create inadvertently harmful physical effects? Now, it's bad enough that we do it with horses, and it's very uncomfortable and perhaps immoral, but certainly it would be immoral if we had something similar happen for human beings.
That's a very interesting question, and I want to bring NCAA Vice President and Senior Advisor to the President, Wally Renfro, into the conversation, because Wally, you've been with the NCAA almost as long as anybody on the planet, if not longer, and this is a conversation I can't imagine that we would necessarily have had in the 1970s, talking about performance-enhancing drugs and genetic manipulation of student-athletes.
Well, not directly. You're right. We probably didn't have those conversations specifically about athletes, although the discussion about gene manipulation, cloning of of biological beings, animals or whatever, and then the extension of that possibility to human beings or to human organs was starting certainly in the late 1970s, And I can remember at the time when I first started hearing those discussions, I was sort of puzzled by the moral questions that arose. What are the moral implications of being able to manipulate human genes in ways that you improve, what you probably could start out with from scratch?
Yeah. Now, we have to be very careful how we address this. I can imagine where there is some genetic disease passed down in families, which we actually do want to change the gene structure to protect people from those genes, and that would be good, and that would be a medical advance. But if we start to use genetic manipulation to create better athletes so that they'll run faster, jump higher, lift more, we're going to run into, I'm guessing, some of the same problems that we were running into in the way we genetically manipulate the genes for animals. And so we'll get some of the same consequences, which for human beings is just not acceptable.
That makes sense. We don't want to do away with the science. The science itself has the potential for some incredibly wonderful outcomes. But we do have to think about how you extend that science in ways that creates a type of human being that's a super athlete, but that maybe is is not prepared to carry what that really implies.
You know, some people would argue that gene manipulation, cloning, if you like, as one example, is totally unacceptable for religious reasons or other reasons. That's not the argument I'm making. I believe that there are some real opportunities in medical science to relieve human suffering. But the goals at which you undertake this and the possibility of misuse and the suffering that could come from it is very serious. So that speaks to me about making sure that we have appropriate safeguards and regulations and oversight in place so that we don't get this kind of activity.
You know, we've never really found an issue, Miles, with with the athletes who have the availability of very special training, of bodybuilding or development in a way that doesn't take into consideration chemicals. You know, we've sort of drawn the line and said, when you get to steroids, then steroids by themselves doesn't do anything. It's the steroids in combination with exercise that really builds you up. And so we've said, yeah, even though there are athletes, class of athletes who have access to that kind of training, we've seen that as still a fair competition. But when we introduce elements that we think are destructive to that individual or that others don't want to participate in, that it makes an unfair advantage. With gene manipulation, we could arrive at the same place. We could have a group of super athletes that the normal athlete can no longer compete with.
Oh, I think that's exactly right. I mean, you do have the extreme possible cases I was talking about, namely that it have very unhealthy, maybe life-threatening problems. But also, it probably could give some individual, like steroid use, an unfair advantage. Now, just to make it even more complicated, suppose the parents did it unbeknowing to the child. And so you can't really blame the athlete. They're more of a victim in that case, even though that athlete may have a set of genes because their parents found a way in which to take advantage of the situation. So it is a very complicated set of moral issues. We can't draw the conclusion that some wish to draw, therefore there should be no molecular biological approach to dealing with genes, because there's a lot of potential good that could come from that. But we also have to be careful of where the lines are in terms of moral as well as behavioral activity.
And because it's so new, we're not particularly well prepared to know exactly how to deal with that and where we draw the lines.
It needs a great deal of thought.
And finally, at the NCAA convention this year, you spoke about the NCAA as an arbiter for social change and social justice, and it seems that this is something that, Wally, you just said we're on the very forefront of it, but that's the type of thinking that goes on.
I think so, and of course this isn't merely about college student athletes or even high school student athletes. It's about professionals as well, because one of the reasons people will want to do this is to become very wealthy through their athletic abilities. And so it has a consequence that reaches beyond just the college level. And everyone interested in sports, as well as many other endeavors in life, going to have to pay attention to what's going on.
All right, Dr. Brand, Mr. Renfro, thank you so much. A really great conversation.